Begin the current daf Masechtas Tmur daf Chav Zayin. Begin 10 lines down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf from this Amud, which we had in the previous Mishnah, the definitions defining the halach of this Masechta of Tmura. What are the primary words that will take the hatfasa, take possession of the halach of Tmura? So he said, if you say Harezu Tachazu, Tmurazu, Khalifazu, but if you use a terminology like Chil, Zumichulelasazu, well then that's not the halach of Tmura. That only works by a Hekdesh that's a Balmum, that then you could deconsecrate it, which actually removes the sanctity from the Hekdesh. Not like Tmur, which actually keeps the sanctity and actually brings it on to another animal. However, as the Gemara had just previously said on this Amud, Rav Ashi said that, qualifying the halacha that Rava said, that although by Kach Mizbech generally we say that Tachazu, as the halacha of a Mishnah says, is going to be a halacha of Tmura, and by a Balmum, something that's monetary sanctity, then we're going to say that it's the halacha of deconsecration. However, he says you could even have, by Kach Mizbech, if it's a Balmum, that sometimes it's going to be the halacha of Chil, sometimes it's going to be the halacha of Atfasa, depending on where you put your hand on, which we explained, that will indicate if you're trying to do Hatfasa, or if you're trying to be Mechal, or trying to deconsecrate it. Now, so the Gemara continues now in this discussion regarding how can we ascertain, how can we be clear regarding if the person is intending to do a Chil, a deconsecration, or the Isser of Tmura. So Abaye Abaye had the following question. Someone had in front of him two animals, that of Hekdesh, which were blemished animals, and he also had two unconsecrated animals that were unblemished. And he said, these are in place of these, which we explained that though either one of those terminologies can mean chilul, or as we had brought in the brisa, which that was the Gemara's discussion of the previous stuff, which we had explained that depending on what we're talking about, if it's kach mizbech or kach bedek abayis. But here, he doesn't do like Rav Ashi had said, which will ascertain depending which one he puts his hands on. He doesn't put his hands on either one. Now, so that's the question. Now, what's the halacha going to be in this situation? As Abayi explains the question. Mi amar lat fuse, do we say his intention is to do atfasa, which is the terminology we use for tamura, to take possession of that sanctity from that primary animal and then to transition it and keep it actually and just extend it onto those chulin animals, and therefore v'lucky he's going to get lashes because that's the terminology of tamura, which you get lashes for that iser. Dilma, maybe not, no. Wherever there is a possibility of what he's trying to do, it is a permissible thing. A person's not going to leave something that's permitted and do something that's forbidden, and therefore his intention is to do chil, a deconsecration, which that's permitted to be done, because here we're talking about the behemoths are balmum. Balmum, you could do chil. Now, you could also do tamura. So therefore we're going to define this terminology as something that's permitted, which is chil, and not that of tamura, which as Rashi points out, that for the question that Abai is asking, really you didn't have to ask with two animals on two animals, could have been one on one. It's just because of the next question, which is going to be specifically talking about two animals, so therefore he started speaking about two animals. But that was his question. Continues Abai. Vim Tim Tzalaman, if you're going to say yes, Kol Echadika Teira, wherever there's a permissible way of what he's doing, Leishavik Inish V'Avadis Tur, a person's not going to leave the permitted thing and do the prohibited Lo Yomer, which is the prohibition of doing Tamura. Chil you're allowed to do. So, okay, we're going to interpret his action that he was doing chil and not tamur. But, let's say he had two sanctified animals, and only one of them were blemished. And he had two unconsecrated animals, and also there one of them was blemished. And he says, these should be in the place of these. Now, what's the halacha over here? As the Gemara explains. His intention was that the unblemished chulin should be tamura from the unblemished one of Hekdesh. Because most definitely here, you have to have at least one that is the iser of tamura of atfasa, because since we have one unblemished one of Hekdesh of kach mizbeach, the halacha is that unblemished kach mizbeach cannot have chil. So obviously that is a case of tamura. But will we say that that tamura of the unblemished Hekdesh one will be on the unblemished chulin one? And hence, Balas mum tachas balas mum lachuli, that then the blemished chulun one is the chilul of the blemished hektish one. Because most definitely there you cannot say hatfasa, because the Torah, although it tells us toiv bara, rabbi toiv in the halach of tamura, but rab ra doesn't tell us. It doesn't, a blemished chulun animal cannot be tamura on the blemished hektish animal. So therefore, if we're interpreting the tamima on the tamima, So then there's only going to be one set of lashes. But for the one of the Baal Mum and the Baal Mum, that's going to be Chil. Maybe no. We actually could figure out that you could actually have Timur on both if you do it in a different way. Maybe it's the unblemished one of Chulin that's taking the place of the blemished one of Hekdesh, which that's the halach of Toiv Bara. And Balas Mum the Chulin Tachas Timur the Hekdesh. And you have the blemished one of Chulin that's Timur of the unblemished one of Hekdesh, which that has to be a Timur because that's a Timim of Hekdesh. That's Rabba Toiv. And therefore, maybe with Tarvaya Lucky, maybe actually for both of them you're going to get lashes. Now, as Rashi points out, which this explains the question of Abaya, although we just said before, in Abaya's assumption of the Imtim Tzalema, that a person's not going to leave something that's permitted and do something that's prohibited. So what's the question over here? Why are we saying, oh, maybe only one set of lashes because the other one's Chil, or maybe both sets of lashes because both are Tamura? What do you mean, obviously it's going to be Chil and not Tamura? No. Since ultimately here, at least one time, one of the animals is for sure doing the Isser, so you could say, just like one of them, he's doing the Isser of Temura, so maybe it doesn't bother him, and maybe he is Shavag Heter, and he is doing Isser, and therefore maybe we could say even the second one is going to be Atfasim. And then continues Abaya. Vim Tim Tzlam, and if you're going to say, no, still, Kalecha Dike Heter, Layavad Isser, wherever you can do a permitted way, you're not going to do it for a prohibited way. And although one of them for sure has to be, but the other one, which could still be interpreted as a heter, it's going to be in the chilul and not that of temura. Ulachulehu, v'loilaki, it's going to be chilul, or deconsecration, and not getting lashes. But, consider the next case. Ha'ilafanim shalish behemish l'kaydish v'achaz men balismum. If he has three sanctified animals, and one of those three is blemished. V'shalish behemish l'chulim tamim, and he has three unconsecrated, he has three unblemished, unconsecrated animals. V'amar ha're'elu tachaseil, and he says, these are in place of these. What's the question? Do we say from the fact that at least two of them, which are the two of Hekdesh that are unblemished, and you have all three chulin that are unblemished. So you have Tamimis taking the place of Tamimis, which that we said most definitely is the halach of Tamur, because a Tamim of Hekdesh, Mizbeach, cannot have chul. So Tamimis namitachas balas mum latfuse. So therefore also the third one, that's the unblemished chulin taking the place of the blemished hektish, maybe they will also say that it's going to be a temura. Meaning, although we just said before, even in the previous case, that no, even if he's doing one of Isser, he's still not going to leave this the next one of heter and do it in Isser. Still here, this is what the Imtim Tzlem is asking, that since here the majority, what's called the Rav, since two out of three has to be at Fasa, because those are hektish of Tamimis, and you can't do chil, maybe the third one will actually be hatfasa based on the laws of majority. Or that's what the question is. Or maybe no, even over here, wherever they could do it in a permissible way, we're not going to say he's doing it in a prohibited way. And the third one, still here, is going to be the halach of chil, and not that of tamur, because it could be chil, because here this hektish, the third one, is a baal mum. And then the question continues. If you can say yes, even over here, since this person has not been presumed to do something that's prohibited, because the halacha of chazaka of presumption is only with three times is chazaka, two times is not a chazaka. So yes, although two out of the three most definitely have to be Isser, but the third one is not muchzik yet doing Isser. The third one we will interpret as doing the heter and not the Isser, and it's going to be chil. But by Ravashi, so Ravashi asked the next case. If he has four sanctified animals, and one of them is a blemished animal, and he has four animals that are unconsecrated, and says these should be in the place of these. Now, what's the halach over here? Here, most definitely, you'll say, since the person has already been presumed to do Isser three times, three out of the four are for sure the Isser of Temura. So he has a Cheskis Isser. So therefore, for sure, we're going to assume that the fourth one is also going to be that of Temura and Lucky by Arba Malki. He's going to get four sets of lashes. Or maybe then no. Avagav dischazik bisura, even though he has been presumed to do something prohibited of Temura, but still a shavik in the shater b'avrisura. Yes, he would do if he wanted to, but if you have something permitted, he's not going to leave the permitted and do the prohibited. And as the Gir says, v'hach basrais lachuliyav, and maybe still here in this case, the fourth one is that which is permitted, which is deconsecration, not that of Temura. So the Gemara takes that stands. Not clear what the halach is in all these cases. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halach of our Mishnah, that which defined the terminologies of Temura. And then it said, that the terminology of chil doesn't work by a regular case of hektish, which is unblemished, that of kachem mizbeach. But the Mishnah said, but regarding the terminology of mechulelis, im hoyse hektish bal mum. But if the carbon was blemished, then yatzel chulun chulu, then it will go out to chulun with the terminology of chil. But the Mishnah qualified and said, but tzorach la'aseh dam, you have to make it monetarily equal, that you have to compensate the hektish, the temple treasury, for the exact amount of how much that carbon actually cost regarding this deconsecration. Now, the Gemara brings a machlokes regarding how to qualify this halacha of a Mishnah. Amar Biichna says this, that the Mishnah says that if a person says this is mechulelus al zu, so yatzel chulun, when the Mishnah says it's going to go out and the hektish is going to be deconsecrated, it's going to be chulun, that halacha is dvater. That halacha is biblical, as the Gemara says in Masechet Simnachas, Daf Kof Aleph Amud Aleph. Pasuk says v'mikol behem etzmeya, that if there's any non-kosher animal, that's a simple understanding, the impure animal, which is going to be evaluated regarding the redemption, the Gemara there explains that we already know that what this behem etzmeya means. It means a blemished animal that's redeemed. We know that halacha is that it goes out to become chulin according to biblical law. Now this, that the Mishnah says, but v'tzarech las is dumb, that you have to make it monetarily equal, can't just deconsecrate it onto anything, it has to be equal value, that's min divrei. So that's only rabbinically, because biblically, there's no halacha v'ayinah of price fraud regarding hektish. Because the pasuk of v'ayinah in v'yikra chafei says, al toinu ish esachiv, a person is not allowed to do price fraud, both the seller and the buyer, regarding his fellow person, but not regarding hektish, which is with Hashem. So this, that you have to make it equal, that there has to be monetarily fair, that's only rabbinic. Rish Lakish Ami says, no, Avtzarach Lasa Damim Mid-Devat Torah. Even biblically, the halacha is that it has to be monetary equal regarding what you're deconsecrating, which, as the Gemara is going to explain from Rav Chizkiya later on. Now, the Gemara first asks, B'mayi Iskino, what are we talking about over here regarding this Tzarach Lasa Mid-Devrayim, that we have this Machlik, Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish? If we're talking about what's called Aino, which is price fraud, which is that the Inui, the price difference was only up until a sixth. B'han name Rish Lakish of Tzarech Las is dumb and Devatar. Are you going to tell me that that's where Rish Lakish says in the definition of the halacha, the Mishnah, that that halacha is a biblical law that you have to compensate hektish for? But what's not in the Mishnah Masechet Bamitzi that says El Drum Shein Lem Oina? These are things that there is no halacha of if the price fraud is a sixth or less. Havadim, regarding slaves, Vashtaris, documents, Vakakaris, lands, and Vahahekdeshis. And regarding Hektish, there is no halacha by Noah. So we have a clear Mishnah, how could Rish Lakish say that yes, there would be halacha of Dvat Taira for the Dhamim, when, if you're telling me we're talking about a case of less than a sixth? So, what are you going to tell me? Abitl Mekach. No, we're going what's called a nullification of the sale. Because generally, I know you just have to compensate the buyer or the seller, but the sale is still valid. Bitl Mekach is avoiding of the sale, which is if the price for it was more than a sixth. And that's what Machlokes Rabbi Yechon Shlakish is, if this halacha is midivreim, is rabbinic, regarding hektish or midivat tire. Says Gemara, b'han name Rabbi Yechonon, tzarech las is dam midivreim. Are you going to tell me that in that case, Rabbi Yechonon is only going to say it's rabbinic, this step of having to compensate hektish, but really, even if it's more than a sixth, there would not be any halacha requiring reimbursing hektish? But as we continue to midveis, but v'am Rabbi Yirmi said a halacha, and he was going akarkoyes to chulin, regarding regular unconsecrated lands. Rabbi Yechonon Amar Hektashis, and he said this halacha going on items of Hektash, where Tarvayu Mishmid Rabbi Yechonon Amri, they were both saying the halacha in the name of Rabbi Yechonon, just one was saying it on lands, of Chulun even, and the other one was saying it on Hektash. That what was the halacha? That I know ain't land, which as we said, these are two items that we said don't have halacha, but no, as we quoted from the Mishnah Bab Metzia, which is if the fraud is less than the sixth, but Bitl Mekech Yeshlehem, but a nullification of the sale means when it's more than the sixth, then the halacha is that the sale has to go back. So now, according to Rabbi Yainim, you have a contradiction, the halacha is of Rabbi Yechonon. Because here he says that there is a biblical halacha of Bitl Mekach by Hektish, and yet we said that we're explaining the halacha of a Mishnah of regarding Hektish, that biblically there is no halacha of Bitl Mekach, it's only rabbinic. So how do we explain then this contradiction in the opinion of Rabbi Yechonon? Says Gemara, Lo ilam Bitl Mekach. Yes, it's like we just explained, that the Machlokes Rabbi Yechonon Shlokish and Halacha B'Mishnah in Hektish, if it's biblical or maybe even rabbinic, is on even if it's more than a sixth. But you have to switch around the opinions. Rabbi Yechon is the one who says that the halacha of tzarech la'asis damim is dvar Torah, is biblical, which that's exactly like Rabbi Yechon, where we said his aversion in the name of Rabbi Yechon is that although there's no ena by hekdesh, but there is halacha bitl mekach, and Rish Lakish was the one who said that it's only rabbinic. Says the Gemara, mi metzisa amar epech, can you really say that we have to switch around the opinions? But then Hanich Lamanda, but then now that's very good according to Rabbi Yehuda, that he said that Rabbi Yechon's halacha was a hekdeshes. That it's on hekdesh, Rabbi Yechon said that there's halacha bitl mekach, that there's a problem if it's more than the sixth. And although it says achiv, but that's only regarding a no, but more than that will apply even by hekdesh. Now, Bakoshkin Akarkais, and for sure that the halacha is going to be regarding lands, which maybe we don't have any achiv, which would seem to exclude the halacha of karka. So according to him, it makes sense how he's switching around the opinions. But according to the other opinion, that of Rabbi Yirmiyah, that says Akarkois, the whole halacha of Rabbi Yechon is only on lands, that there's going to be halacha bitl mekach, aval hektashis, ain land bitl mekach, but hektash is not halacha bitl mekach. Even more than the sixth, biblically, is not a problem because it's achiv. It does not apply price fraud regarding hektash. So hecha apichlo, according to him, how are you going to be switching it around? If you're going to switch it around, then according to him, actually, it's going to be a contradiction of Rabbi Yechon, because now you're having Rabbi Yechon and saying that there is bitl mekach in the way he explained the halacha of Amishnah in hektash, and he holds no, there's no bitl mekach in hektash. That was only for Rabbi Yehuda, not for Rabbi Yirmiyah. So that says the Gemara, yeah, Omer Bi'emer, even would tell you, loy tebuch, don't switch it around. To the contrary, keep it like we originally had it. And Rabbi Yehuda, he only according to explain his opinion, he has to switch it around. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, it was always good, according to his opinion, that actually Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that there's no bitl mekach, and Rish Lakish is the one that says that there is a bitl mekach. But now the Gemara continues, says, okay, now that we introduced, which actually is two different versions, first we'll say the way our Gersa has it, of this machlik is Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda in the halacha of Rabbi Yechonon, lema b'dishmul kamifli. Let's say that they're disagreeing in the halacha of Shmuel. Because the Amr Shmuel said, hektesh shav a mana. You have hektesh that's worth a mana, 100. Shechila shav a pruta, that even if you're deconsecrating on something that's a pruta, which is much more than a sixth, mechul still is deconsecrated, as long as it's worth a pruta that you're deconsecrating it. So let's say that it's on that halacha that we have this machlekes, because to Rabbi Yehuda, less like the Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda who says that bitl mekach is a problem by hektish, that was his version of Rabbi Yehuda. Obviously, it doesn't hold like Shmuel, because from 100 to one little pruta, obviously that's more than a sixth, and therefore, according to him, it would not be mechul. Rabbi Yirmi is like the Shmuel. Rabbi Yirmi here says that there's no bitl mekach, even bitl mekach is no problem by hektish, that he holds the halacha of Shmuel. Says Gemara, like, no. Bein demar or bein demar is the Shmuel. Actually, both of the Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yirmiyah hold the halacha Shmuel. Now, depends on the interpretation of what that means. They hold like him in this interpretation. Even Rashi, because Rashi actually is going according to his gear, says we're going to explain shortly. It's going in Rabbi Yehuda and Rish Lakish. But one of the interpretations is that no, they both hold that if the person's intention is to be mechal, most definitely the chil is going to work. In other words, if his intention was to fraud hektish and to deconsecrate it on much less money, even more than a six, most definitely that's going to be a chil. But then, what's their machlek is Rabbi Yehuda Sava? He held kiyamar Shmuel. When the Shmuel say his halacha is the evid, is after the fact. Which again, there's a machlek exactly how to define that, but. Therefore, it was only after the fact, initially not, and therefore he didn't say, Rabbi Yehuda said that, yeah, more than a sixth is going to be a problem about mitl mekach. But Rabbi Yirmiyah said, no, even initially, that was said to be okay in the halacha of Shmuel, and therefore, there's no halacha of even more than a sixth in the halacha of mitl mekach of Hector. That's one version. Now, Rashi actually had a girsa, as the Haggai Segura brings, that the interpretation of the Gemara was actually going on Rabbi Yehuda was shlakish. And that the Gemara is saying, initially thinking that they're disagreeing in Halacha Shmuel. The Gemara says, no, they both hold like him, but the reason why Rish Lakish says that you have to make Damim is Dvat Torah, is a biblical Halacha, is because his intention was not to be Mechalit on something that's worth less money. Rather, he thought that it was equal amount of money. So therefore, that's what he said, that, yeah, look at Chila, it has to be the same amount. Rabbi Yechon held that, no, the person's intention was to be Mechalit. That's B'diyevit. But the Yevit, we said that that's where the halacha Shmuel is going to apply, and therefore, biblically, you wouldn't have to make it into dumb. It's only rabbinically that you have to make it into dumb. That's one interpretation to explain the halacha of Rabbi Yechonon. Says the Gemara, v'ibaisem. If you want, you could actually say, to resolve the previous contradiction we had asked, that it's not difficult on Rabbi Yechonon, that is, lo'ilam lo'itebuch. Truthfully, we're not going to switch around the attributions of the opinions of Rabbi Yechonon and Shlokish and the halacha in explaining the halacha of our Mishnah, and that actually, They weren't talking about Bitl Mekecherol to ask it on Rabbi Yehuda's version of Rabbi Yehuda. Actually, they were going on Oyna, which less than the sixth, in regards to Halacha Mishnah that the Chil is going on. Now, with the Kakashlach, but then we had asked initially on that interpretation, how are we going to understand Resh Lakish with Halacha Oyna from Masnitin, from our Mishnah, because a Mishnah said, Eludvorm, these are things in Bar Mitzvah, says that there's no Oyna, and one of them was Hektashis of Hektish. So he said, how could the Resh Lakish then be saying that you would have to make Damim Dva Torah, even if it's less than a sixth, for the Halacha of Hektish? That says the Gemara, that's not difficult, because Rosh Lakish would explain actually that what does that Mishnah mean over the Bar Mitzvah? It's Kedir Rav Chisda. The Amr Rav Chisda says, what does it mean, Ein Lan Oino, that there's no price for it? It's actually to the contrary. Not that less than a sixth is not going to be the halach of giving back the money. To Einan B'Toyris Oino means they're not in this category of Oino, that fell apachas Mechdei Oino Chazer. What it means to say that even less than the price for it, that actually has to go back, in contrast to a regular person. And what the Pasuk was saying is that this halacha of Oino applies to Ish HaSachav, a man, his brother, means to say that it's only when you have the measurement of a sixth that you have to pay back, but less than a sixth, you don't have to. Actually, it's saying the opposite of what we thought up until now. But by Hektish, even less than a sixth, the Oino, the price for it has to go back, and that's what Rosh Lakish meant when he said the Dvat Torah, that Hektish is going to have the halacha of Oino, of Damim. Which Rabbi Yechon explained halacha in Mishnah B'Metzia, according to a simple translation, which is that, no, to the contrary, that there is no halacha v'ayna, by hektish, even by a sixth, that you don't have to give back the money. But regarding Bitl Mekach, when it's more than a sixth, that Rabbi Yechon was not talking about at all, and therefore there's no difficulty on Rabbi Yechon or Rabbi Yirmi, like we had previously discussed, because their machlikis was not in Bitl Mekach at all. Their whole machlikis, Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Yirmi, was in Bitl Mekach. Going back to explain this halacha of our Mishnah, Amar Ula, he said, like, Amar, we didn't say that a person has to compensate Hektish for the entire price difference, what we call Eino, the fraud, as the Halacha of our Mishnah says, that you have to make a Damim, that's Ele B'Shamig B'Trei. That's only if, initially, two people had evaluated that Chilul, and they made an error, and they realized that this person was deconsecrating onto something that's worth less. Then three people came and evaluated that actually there's more money that's owed to Hektish. So that's when we have to say that, okay, you got to make Damim, you got to make up a good, you got to make good on the money that you owe Hektish, what you deconsecrate. Aval b'sham b'tlasa, but if initially it was evaluated with three people, v'avagav da'asa b'meya, then even if 100 people come subsequently and they say that the first evaluators had erred, lo'yhada, the evaluation doesn't have to go back and it does not have to do good on his deconsecration to make sure it's the same value as the hektish that is machal. Says Gemara, is that so? But Vamra of Safra, he says, Hecha amma meyka trei b'trei kamei. When did we say that 100 is like 2, 2 is like 100, as long as you have 2, then more amounts are considered equal to the two? That's only in the Eidus, that's regarding testimony, which is if two people say one thing and 100 people say something else, it's the same thing. But regarding evaluations, assessments, then we go based on the amount of opinions. That is, 3 is better than 2, and for sure 100 is better than 2. So why would you say that if you have 3 initially, that 100 is not going to make a difference? It should. Vesu, moreover, he says, another point is, even tlasa v'tlasa. Even if, let's say, initially there was 3, and then even only subsequently, even another 3 come and contradict and say, no, more money is owed to Hektish, lo yazlin basa basa, wouldn't we go based on the last group of 3? Yad Hektish al yoyna. We always say the hand of Hektish has the upper hand. Shouldn't we have to make that the evaluation should be hired? Says the Gemara, Kesav Ula holds to answer both these questions. Tzarech lasas damim divreim. The halacha of our Mishnah that you have to make good on the money is rabbinic, like Rabbi Yechonon said. V'chad rabbanan, kila v'rabbanan. Whenever it's rabbinic, the rabbanan will make it. So since you already had 3 that evaluated, which is like a bezdin, then even if 3 or 100 or whatever comes afterwards, you won't have to go ahead and make good on the money. You'd only have to give how much was originally assessed. Now the Gemara continues the next Mishnah, concluding this discussion of our perek regarding if someone says one thing, and in the context of Timur, we were saying, so the Mishnah continues with the halachas of Timur. Harezu tachas oila tachas chatav. Someone says that this animal is taking the place, which is the halach of Timur, of an oila, of a chatas. So lo yamakom, he hasn't said anything because he hasn't pinpointed, he hasn't been definite regarding what this Timur only works when you're taking the place of a certain carbon. He hasn't said which one. So he hasn't said anything. But if he says tachas chatas zu, if he says it's taking the place of this chatas, which there was a karma chatas standing right there, or tachas oila zu, or taking the place of this oila, or let's say even tachas chatas or tachas oila sheshli bebayis, let's say not right there, but he says, taking the place of the chatas oila that I have in my house, then Ha'ilo, if he had that Chatas Ha'il in his house, so Devar V'Kayom, then his words are upheld, he has committed the Halacha of Timur. Now, says the Mishnah, Amar al Behema Timeya Val Balas Mumba. Let's say he says that this animal should be in the place of a, if he says regarding a non-kosher animal, or on a blemished animal, Hare'ilo Ayla, not the Halacha of Timur. It just says regarding original sanctification on a non-kosher animal, a blemished animal, it says Hare'ilo Ayla, this should be an Ayla. So Lo Yamakum, he hasn't said anything, because obviously a non-kosher animal, a blemished animal, cannot be an Ayla. But if he says Hare'ilo Le'ayla, that it should be for an Ayla, which sounds like for the monetary designation of an Ayla, because if he would be sanctifying the body itself and not for its monetary value, he would have said Hare'ilo Ayla. What's he saying Hare'ilo Le'ayla? He's saying for its monetary designation. So Yemachru b'yavah b'dmei ma'ila, so then he sells them, and he brings from the monies of either that balmum or the non-kosher animal to bring a carbon oil. Now Amar B'yudim Rav, he says, Masnid in our Mishnah that said, that if someone says that this animal should be tachas chatas, tachas oil, he didn't say for which animal, that we said, lo yamakum, he hasn't said anything, is deloy krei meir. It's not like krei meir. Where meir says that if someone does an erichin vow on a child that's less than a month old, where there is no erichin in the Torah less than a month old, halachas, he says that nice and dumb, if you have to give its value, that how much a person would be sold in the marketplace, which is the relative value, because Hermeyer says that a person knows that there's no erichin for a child less than a month, and he doesn't say his words in vain, so his intention was to conclusively make it that it should be for the monetary value of what's called damim, because he's not going to say his words in vain. So here also, as the Shita Mekubetz explains, his obvious intention, although he didn't say it, was for the chatas of the oil that he has in his house, or even if he doesn't have one in his house, his intention was to sanctify it for monetary sanctity. But our mission that says that he hasn't said anything is obviously not like Rimeir, because the Ikir Rimeir, ha'ein od meitzeh devar lo'atala, he says the person doesn't say his words in vain. What do you mean he hasn't said anything? His intention was for something, and therefore must be either for the ones he has in his house, or for that of Kedushas Damim, which an our Mishnah says Limakum is obviously not here. Additionally, the Mishnah had said, Hare'ilu le'ayla, regarding a balmum or regarding a behemoth tameya, he says it should be for an ayla, so yamachru b'yavu b'dam avayla. So these blemished animals and non-kosher animals, so obviously it itself is not brought as a carbon, it's designated for its monetary sanctity, for an ayla. So you sell it and you bring from its monetary proceeds a carbon ayla. So the Gemara makes an inference. Taima de behemoth tameya balas mum. The Mishnah was specific why it picked the cases of like a non-kosher animal, a blemished animal, to leichazen, where they're not fit as a carbon at all, and loibayin mumah, they don't need a blemish, meaning they don't need to graze because they're already pre-blemished. So like we said, you don't have to make it graze, you sell it and you bring from its monetary proceeds. Now, ava mafresh nekeva, but the inference would be if, let's say, he separated an unblemished animal, a kosher animal, but it was female, and he said he wanted la ashma la ayla to be a carbon ashma ayla, which those have to be males, would sound like that there bayin muma, that there you would require blemish, because since the female animal is fit to be a carbon, in the case of a shlamim, so there you wouldn't just be able to sell it, you would have to let it graze, develop a blemish, and then you could sell it, because or else we should have said the case even of a kosher animal, but just nikeva. When we're picking for an oila, and we're picking specifically bal mum and the payment tmeya, that then you don't have to let it graze. Obviously, by nekeva, you would have to let it graze first and develop a blemish. So, Amir Yehuda Merav, he says, must need the lake Reb Shimon, so Mishnah, not like Reb Shimon. Because it's not, we learned the Mishnah in Perikele Kachim, that your testament bays, that said if someone designates a female animal for an ashram, Shimonim, he says, timachash lebemum, you could sell it without a blemish, because it's not valid at all, and it doesn't, even ashram doesn't have categorical at all a female in contrast, let's say, to an oila. So therefore, must be that the halacha of our Mishnah is not like Reb Shimon. Or another version is that from the fact that we see that the body has a sanctity, that you have to let it graze, as we're inferring from the halacha of our Mishnah, that's not like Reb Shimon, who he says over the Perek Elikachim, that even for an oila, you can't make a tumura. Obviously, we see that there's no physical sanctity if it's not valid itself, so it's not doesn't have that physical sanctity, and therefore you can't make tumura. So the halacha of a Mishnah that telling us that it has a physical sanctity and therefore you have to let it graze to develop a blemish is obviously not like Reb Shimon. Hanulach Kitzah Marimon, shall return to the fifth parak of Masechta Semurah, parak Kitzah Marimon, which that started off with the halacha of trying to get out of Kedushas Bukhar, which was getting the sanctity of the firstborn animal when it's still in utero, which related to the idea of someone saying, let it have the sanctity, which related to the other halachas of the topic of our Masechta, of saying that this animal should take the place of this, which again was discussed in the halachas of Temurah.